Take off your jacket, because it's time to get deep under the covers with a loose read.
Morena. Jenna, how are you today?
Morena, I'm good.
Live from the shop, I believe, which is exciting.
I know, we're so excited to be getting books out the door.
That is great. Getting books
coming in as well.
I love to hear that. I've bought myself a book and I'm looking forward to picking it up and getting stuck into something. As I was just saying to you off air, I'm deep in the rereading Jane Austen stage of lockdown at this point, so it's good to have some new stuff on the list.
That's right. I mean, Jane Austen's amazing. You can always go back to her. It's quite a comforting thing, but new books are great too.
And speaking of, what have you brought us today?
Okay, so I've got a brand new release. This is called and I always accidentally call it the wrong name. It's called Cloud Cuckoo Land, and I always get it confused with Cloud Atlas, for reasons I'll explain later. But this is by Anthony Doerr. And Anthony Doerr wrote this very well-known book. It won the Pulitzer Prize, All the Light We Cannot See, which was published in 2014. Have either of you read that?
I haven't read it, but I do know what you're talking about.
It's one of those books that even people that don't read heaps have read. And people will come into the bookshop and they'll say, I don't want to read anything about war, but my favourite book is All the Light We Cannot See, which is about war. It's one of those books that people always reference as a favourite book.
That's cool.
People are very, very excited about this. And I think this will be one of, Cloud Cuckoo Land will be one of these, we've got lots of epic 500 page plus epic reads and that people will be reading this summer in New Zealand. So hopefully I don't have to spend too much time explaining what the book is about, because it's quite complicated, but it's not complicated to read. But
okay.
We have three plot lines.
Ooh.
We have our living time, which is in Idaho, and it's the beginning. It begins with this terror attack in a library. And there's two main characters in this plot line. Zeno, who at the time is in his 80s, but we go back to his time in the Korean War, and we have young Seymour, who's a child on the spectrum, and he's very connected with the environment and disconnected with society. So that's bubble one. And then bubble two is set in the 1400s, mid-1400s.
Whoa.
We have young Anna. She's an embroiderer within the borders of the Byzantine Empire. And we have Amir, who's a villager. He has a cleft lip, who is being conscripted to the army that will take down Constantinople. So these two are probably the most familiar if you're comparing to All the Light We Cannot See, because you have two young people on different sides of something who are inevitably going to meet. And what is really important to note in this section is that Anna is learning to read, and she's been finding these ancient scripts. And then we have the future. So this is set on board the Argos. It's narrated by Constance, who lives upon this interstellar spaceship with her family. And there's some really great dystopian setups here, especially this thing called a perambulator, which is this treadmill and visor, which allows characters to walk around an atlas, which is like an interactive Google map, so they can like look around on Earth, which
I would like to do that. That sounds fun.
Totally, and many of the characters have never been on it because they've only ever lived on the spaceship. So you weaved through these three narratives, you have parts of a fictional Diogenes text, which is telling this myth. So I don't know, like, it sounds confusing, but it sounds long and laborious, but it's actually not. It's so easy to read. So yeah, sorry that it's taken like the whole review to tell you what.
No, I've really enjoyed that, and I've got to say it's already convinced me that this is a book I'd probably like to read, because I do like a big sort of sprawling multi-plot read. Is this why you kind of got it confused with Cloud Atlas? Because that is a sort of David Mitchell trope to do as well.
Totally, I just totally go to David Mitchell with this, and as you can imagine, even though these characters are living centuries apart, they're all connected. And the expanse of this book is drawing them out and then bringing them all together through these little clues and threads that come through. So there's lots of themes in this book. You have Greek language, literacy, imagination, history books, and especially libraries. And then you also have, which heaps of books at the moment have, is this climate change environment thing, and then preservation. So preservation of the written word, preservation of the environment. So this book is a true love letter to libraries and the written word, and it's a testament to the small acts one can make that can last for lifetimes beyond you.
Oh, wow.
And I think Doa is trying to give us, the reader, some hope, some perspective. And there's this great line right towards the end of the book, which is not a spoiler, which is erasure is always stalking us. You feel like you could be at the end when maybe you're just at someone else's beginning. Mm. And it really makes you think about what you leave behind and the cultural and intellectual value of the tangible book. It's quite magical.
Dang.
So Doa's language is really full and really descriptive. He's quite a flowery writer in a beautiful way. He's really setting up his environments. And he doesn't tell you everything, like this Constantinople stuff. I don't know everything about that, but he doesn't tell you, like, this is how it happened and lays it out. He just plops you in there and sets up the scene, and you have to figure it out yourself with what you know. I think this is going to be one of the books that, like, lots and lots of people read over the summer. Doa had this really, really great interview with Kim Hill on Saturday.
Oh,
I recommend anyone to listen to it. He sounded quite wonderful, and it was so nice to listen to that while I was reading the book. But it was one of those books that, you know, 30 people immediately put it on hold after
Excellent.
The interview. So we are expecting this book to arrive this week, we hope. Oh, it's here. Yeah. Oh, hey, it just got delivered. I just got the word. It's on the floor this morning. It's so exciting. live from the shop floor. But, you know, I found it really easy to read. And I was talking to Zoe on Friday. I said, I think I'm going to review Cloud Cuckoo Land, but I've still got 300 pages to read. And she said, I believe in you. And I just went, I whipped through them. It actually wasn't that hard. So thanks, Zoe. I really needed that on my
phone. Oh, of course.
It's always good for encouraging, getting things across the line, I have to say.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah. And Live from the Floor, we just got 200 copies delivered.
Oh my gosh.
Very exciting. Yeah.
Stick it on your wish list.
Yeah, I would really recommend it. It's quite escapist. And in those last 200 pages, it really, really all comes together. Like, everything starts linking up, and that's really cool.
Wicked.
To watch how that works.
Well, that sounds extremely exciting. Cloud Cuckoo Land, remind us of the author there.
It's Anthony Doa. It's published by Fourth Estate HarperCollins, and it is $35. It's 600 pages, and it's an epic read.
Mean. That sounds like a bargain, then. Thank you for that. Excellent review there, Jenna. And I've enjoyed the live from the shop. I feel like I'm on Mount Eden Road. It's a great feeling.
Yeah.
You can hear the rainy traffic going past and the phone ringing.
I can hear the buses. I feel like I've got a pastry in my hand. It's a good time. So thank you. Thank you for that one. And we'll see you from a nice, safe distance via the pizza paddle to come and pick up some books soon.
Definitely. Thank you, guys.
Cheers. Ka kite.
That was Loose Reads. With